We usually spoon when we do it.
We lay on the floor together.
Yeah. I kind of fetal up and Dave. Kind of,
just kind of goes behind
him. That's what makes it stand out from other podcasts.
Yeah. Exactly.
I say, hey, capital C. Hey, lowercase c. What's up? Nothing.
Luckily, the noise remover takes out the sound of my stroking his hair.
None of this is being recorded. Hey everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
I'm David Dedrick.
And this is episode 84, Who Could Ask For More? You could, because we're throwing in one more person. Returning champion, a gentleman, a lovely fellow, an actor, a comedic type, doing podcasting before it became podcasting, and people wanted to hear it, and then he went, I'm done. And then they went, everyone likes podcasts, and he went, what the fuck? And went, frustrated, but he's great. Michael Roberts is
Thank
here.
Thank you very much. There I learned my lesson, went and got a job in a video store shortly after that.
Oh, well.
So I showed them.
Yeah, that's right.
That's planning.
Yeah.
I like that kind of foresight.
By the way, it closed in April. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lost that one as well.
Yeah, there's a couple of video stores kicking around in the neighborhood right now, but they almost seem to be antique stores. They've got like old Atari cartridges, and they've got the Nintendo system that comes with the robot that actually does things. Remember there was a Nintendo robot that would I have no idea what he does, but he
was
did
it,
stuff.
His name Irana?
Yes, Irana. Yeah. They used to work for Richie Rich.
Yeah.
And now? Would say ironic things to Richie Rich.
Was it really so you played with
She called
the
him the poor little rich boy. He went,
yeah, that's
you,
right.
You can use that, he said. That was day one. Anyway.
That was the robot Sarcasta.
The robot played the games with you? Like if you didn't have friends or you played against the...
Oh, lordy. I really should know
okay,
this.
It did the ironing while you were playing video games.
Oh, like Rosie.
Someone has to do it.
Yeah. They also had the Virtua Boy there. I think I don't know if it's Virtual or Virtua. But it was one that you actually, it was like a pair of glasses. It was a red system, and you looked through it, and it was red vector graphics. And you could play like Super Mario, but like in 3D
kind of
stuff. And it was not popular because there was only one good game, which was Super Mario in 3D. And the rest were stinkeroos.
And even that sounds terrible.
Well, I mean, that's what they're doing now with the new system anyway. So, yeah, there you are. We live in a 3D freaking world now, Dave.
Wasn't the 3D. I was thinking more just the vector graphics all in red. Like that would just be... That'd be something awful.
I'm trying to remember what is that vector graphics? Is that thing when you wasn't there a game? Was that when you moved like rockets at little asteroids or something? Was
yeah,
that
I think the game
graphics?
You're thinking of with the asteroids was called Space Invaders.
No, I was thinking there was another one that just spun, and I think
Tempest.
It was called Asteroids.
It was called Tempest.
Was it okay?
It was based on the play, the Shakespeare play, The Tempest.
That's my
you
only
could play as Caliban. You could play as Ariel. You could play as Prospero. And those were your three lives. And then when you died, it went, Act 2. I'm like, all right, now we're back. And you had to memorize all this text.
Wow. Imagine how many kids would play with if they had Shakespeare video games.
Mm-hmm.
I like this.
They must have.
They must
have. They must have had Shakespeare
video I think they games. Weren't invented at that time.
No, but maybe now.
Oh, sorry. I misunderstood. I was thinking Elizabethan England.
I'll bet that idea has been turned down several times by several companies.
The idea of a Shakespearean video game?
Well, there were so many games that used to be you'd have to react immediately, like a Dragon's Lair or something. You'd have to immediately, like with a Hamlet, you'd have to like, wait, think it over. Think it over some more. Slow down, buddy. Are you sure? I'm going to kill my uncle. Are you sure? What, did you want to have a play first? Do you want to go travel a bit first?
Can I just say my idea for the level?
Okay.
Is the king laying on the ground and then your Claudius trying to pour the poison in his ear? And he's like moving around and so you have to try and time it and that would be good.
Yep.
That'd be do, 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 do. Well, I guess it wouldn't be that song. But
hey, I unlocked Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. How are they? You know how they are. I didn't do that good. Boo, boo. Have you ever done Shakespeare as a gentleman actor?
Once. I did a version of see that's great. I want to say Henry IV. I can't remember. It's quite a while ago. White Rock Summer Theater.
Okay.
Back in those days.
Who did you play?
I played.
I hope you weren't Henry because you really should remember your number.
No. Yeah. Exactly. It was on the back of my jersey.
They retired Henry VIII's number.
After I played it.
If you go down, if you go to the Tower of London, they got it hanging there.
It's up in the rafters.
Are you a Shakespeare nut?
I'm a little bit. Like a little Shakespeare. What's that?
Flewellyn?
Oh, I couldn't tell you that. If it's a Henry IV, yeah. Come on, what are you doing?
I wasn't doing much, and they shortened it.
It's like Dave's a sports fan, but I don't talk high lie with the guy.
Oh, but he does. Yeah.
So that's my only experience with Shakespeare. I've thought about it other times, but you know, the more I work as an actor, the less I think I'm an actor.
Okay.
And the more I decide I'm an entertainer. Like, I think I'm just supposed to make people laugh. And not that I can't do drama and that, but I just don't. All the things that get actors excited to go and do things, I'm just like, really?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a lot of rehearsals. It's like, can't we just do a show where my lines are sort of, yeah, that's close enough. That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, it shocks me when I see, like, when you're talking just amount of, I mean, first of all, it's a terrible thing. Like, the worst compliment you can get as an actor is after you're done, someone comes up to you and goes, how did you memorize all those lines? That's the worst. That's yeah. Like, okay, fine.
That's what they were thinking of while they were watching the play.
But when it comes to, like a Shakespeare, how the heck do you? Basically, you have to, it's like almost piano playing. You need to learn it when you're young and get into the rhythm. Like, if you try coming into that in your 20s or 30s, good night.
Well, I think you'd have to learn it the same thing with the way you were taught it in school, where you have to learn all the subtext, what it really means to us now. It's almost like learning a foreign language and then going back and learning it because now you know what it means. So that means learning it twice. And if you hate rehearsal, then I'm really starting to hate this, and I'm getting angry just talking about it.
I hate you all.
Shakespeare.
Yeah,
did you do Shakespeare?
I did like a little Midsummer Night's Dream and some stuff with Carousel Theater. I did.
How's your bottom?
Well, it's the tops. But I did like a lot of monologues. I used to like to study drama, and I took like the Trinity College of London drama exam. And so every year I'd have to do something. So, you know, it's me, you know, you get like a 14-year-old doing Shylock and you're just like, I don't know if this, like, you know, you spit on me at the Rialto. You're like, you're 14. Shut up. Like, I do know what it's like to be spit on, but it's a different, not because I'm a Jewish moneylender.
It was a sexual proclivity, reason. So it's totally different.
I auditioned actually when I was 15 for Bard on the Beach, and they asked me, why should we hire you when we could hire someone older? And I'm like, wow. That's a good point. I can't answer that. So long. And that was the end of it for me.
You said to bring in the kids.
Yeah.
It's a new demographic, oldies.
That's right. You want the One Direction of Shakespeare.
The what?
The One Direction of Shakespeare.
Oh, I didn't connect. Somehow I missed it.
Oh, my Lord. Is that totally too old a reference now?
Well, you know what's...
Oh, my God.
Hey, I'll tell you something amusing to me. This is incredibly amusing to me.
All right.
A year ago...
By the way, this is one of Dave's amusing yarns.
Amusing to me.
Hit the theme.
In my...
Get your loot out. It's time for Dave's yarns. They're amusing to him, at least.
A year ago... Both my daughters, Millis and Phyllis, were madly in love with One Direction. So, of course, they had the concerts coming.
Yeah.
They're a band. That's right. They're a British boy band, in case people didn't know. And so I think Millis wasn't so much into the music. She was more into, like, them as, like, a thing, as into a phenomenon. But they're funny, and they had videos and things. So they're coming to town. Everyone was excited, super excited. We have to get tickets. So they get on to Ticketmaster. They buy she was so excited she bought tickets. She couldn't get tickets to the Vancouver show, so she bought tickets to the Seattle show. Then the tickets opened for the Vancouver show. So now they're going to two shows. They're going to Seattle show.
Two directions.
And they're going to the Vancouver show. That's right, north and south. And the funny thing is I really don't care for them that much anymore. So now...
They won't have a problem selling those tickets.
No, I don't know.
Oh.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, well, that's
maybe... Talk me off the air.
I'm going to have to think about that.
There's two things.
Particularly the Seattle show. I'm not really looking forward to driving down to Seattle to sit around in the car for 3 hours.
Well, go to Dick's Burgers, have a shake. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
There's two things. One, I could see... I just would love it if that extended, and it's like 15 years later, you have to like buy your tickets 15 years in advance. Yeah. And then it's like all these moms have to go to a concert they really liked when they were like young girls, like, oh boy. And the other thing I was thinking of as a joke would be funny is if you get there and like One Direction is not into themselves at all now too. They've all gotten on with their lives. They've all got day jobs, different haircuts, sensible. One's a dad. He's got to bring his kid with him on stage because he can't get babysitter. It's just like, okay, we had a deal. You don't want to be here? We don't want to be here. Yeah. We'll go. Does anyone remember how this song goes? Okay, here we go. And they're all tired. They got a bit of a paunch. Yeah, just like one's got gout.
One has a ponytail.
Yeah.
Did this go out? I can't remember.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about Amway. One's just trying to drum up some business. One's in a cult.
He's got business cards he's throwing out of the audience.
Hello, ladies. And they're like, eh, business
cards. Oh, he's in real estate.
Here's a question for me. You're both like, well, you're not. But, you know, you're a modern fellow,
sure.
Michael. Maybe. But you're like a bit old-timey guy, I'd say.
I would like to call myself a stick in the mud.
Right. You wear spats.
I wear spats and a celluloid collar.
That's right. Well, like, here's the
thing. That was a great band, by the way. Spats and the celluloid collar.
Yeah.
They were awesome.
Yeah.
Now,
over the 80s, how we miss them.
Next week, I'm going to San Diego Comic Con.
No, you're not.
Okay, fair enough. Moving on.
That's hypothetically.
Thanks for joining. I always tell one lie an episode, and if Dave guesses it, he gets a Coke. That's our deal. And if I get through with it, I get a puppy. And I'm three puppies deep at the show. I really should feed them. Anyway, the point I was trying to make was I'm going to San Diego Comic Con next week.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of it, you're like, hey, how you doing? Tell people. Now, business cards, are they still a thing, or in this day and age, are those ridiculous? Would I seem old-timey to have a business card, or should we touch phones?
Let's just take from our own experience. We were at VanCalf a month ago whatever.
Well, that's all hippy-dippy, flippy.
What did everyone say?
They all said, I really like Ian on the show.
Okay. That was
What's
unanimous.
The other thing?
Yeah,
other
I like
thing
that show
said?
With Ian and his
how
dad.
How long is this going to be on?
They kept saying, we really like how you carry the show, Dave. To the grave.
Yeah. Atlas Shrugged.
They kept asking us for business cards.
Right.
Which being professionals like we are, professional podcasters.
Well, I think
we didn't have any to give them.
My experience right now is like my gut instinct would be to say no. You don't want those anymore. That's not it. But then the other day on one of those gadget shows, they showed the new thing you attach to your computer to scan in the business cards that you get from everybody so that it now puts it out into something. Like so you have all the information
on
your
phone. Yeah, yeah.
So if they're going to the trouble of inventing something for it, it must mean people are still handing them out.
Here's my question to you if we're going there. First of all, I'm just going to go to Dave and then I'm going to go right back to you.
I just want to say that I still, even though I don't have business cards, I still have a calling card. That I can always leave with a manservant when I call on people and they're not home.
That's right.
But I don't have business cards, which is strange. I think
well,
I should.
It feels like with VanCalf, it's a little different. It feels like you got people making whether the artisanal cheeses. Is that what you call it?
Yes, that's what they were there.
Everyone's weaving.
Everyone was selling
people
artisanal
are, people
cheeses.
People are weaving comics
heat,
on a loom.
We're all making artisanal cheeses.
Yeah, they're all doing that kind of stuff. Everyone's got a beard that's a foot long. It's not quite what I'm thinking of when I'm down there and I'm talking to Slicky Slicks. Back to you, Michael. Now. So say the whole deal is I'm going to give you a card.
Yeah.
You're going to scan it in on your phony phone. Does it not make more sense then for me to...
Wait, your cardy card on their phone?
That's correct.
Okay.
We say that. We say things twice because it's hard to hear in those environments.
Yeah.
So wouldn't it make more sense then I just hold up something on my phone that's got my information. You just take a picture of my damn phone. Like where's the paper? What's the need for the paper? If you're just taking a picture of that, directy, here we go.
Wow, I think you've just invented something.
I don't think you just got your at all.
No, because wouldn't that make sense? Because you don't want somebody to, like I know you can bump your phones together and take all their information.
It's the stupidest thing in the world.
Is it just for that information?
Does that actually work? I thought it was just a movie.
No, that
TV
it does work. You touch it and it's like the info jumps from one to the other. But it's like so you're saying I can give you a message if I'm in the room with you and can touch you. Well, listen, buddy, I think you missed the point. It's the phone.
My niece is 15, she says to me the other day that the Snapchat, which I think is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. You know Snapchat?
Is that the one that vanishes in like a couple of seconds?
I don't know about that, but they send pictures to each other and then they can do this with their phones. And they go, now they got a thing where you can send a voice message with it too. On your phone.
Right.
How about this invention? So I was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But no, I think the business card thing, I think it's probably still good because, I mean, it depends on the people. And if somebody doesn't want it, I mean, you don't want to stand around and start sharing your numbers.
Yeah.
So you've got your email, and they're not going to type it all out.
And the
I'd say yes.
Okay, now I'm in the same.
Maybe you should just carry a card that has that little scanny
ooh,
thing on it.
Oh, that business.
So then you just hold that, and the person just scans that with their phone.
That's not a bad idea.
And that would take you to to your website or whatever with your portfolio.
But they can take it
and
with them and do it at their own
that's
leisure.
That's true. It actually feels like even that's a little old now. It's weird with technology.
Is that old?
I think it might be.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
I don't have it yet.
So what I have now is I carry around my holographic troll that I give to people.
Please do.
Yeah.
And they go home with them and types their information.
It types it in for them. It's a well-trained holographic troll.
Well, the problem with the business card, then, is, like, do you want to do one that's, like, just plain Jane, or do you
want
to...
There's no problem with business cards.
Okay, well, no...
You're making it sound like there's some...
No, this is the problem with the business cards. Like,
you know what you should do? Go to the store and get business cards for dummies. That will give you all the help you need.
First of all, the idea that you're going to the store to get dummies books means I should not talk to you anymore.
You are really
living in a different era.
You should go to the library and sign
Go to
out.
All the bookstores that are in town. All of the large, popular bookstores. Go to their section. You know, the dummies section that everyone goes to nowadays.
Yeah, it is still there.
Then flick the... Find the book that's business cards for dummies. Clearly will be there. And then find out what to do.
Blank page. There's a lot of stuff in the beginning here. Really spread this out with the acknowledgement section.
Yeah, but what?
Dummies don't notice.
Yeah, the acknowledgements is all things he never said to his dad. You know, but it's like, no, I got the guts to, Papa. Okay, so but the business card, do you put something funny on it?
No.
Or do you just go straight?
Yeah.
Like, it's just straight 'em. So, like, I'm given a card to, say, a Mad Magazine. Do I want a joke on the card?
No.
Or do I want, like, straight
Ian
Boothby, and then just, like, you know, writer, comedian, that kind of business?
Yeah.
Well, I won't put podcaster because that phrase will probably be out of date.
Here's what I was told a while back because I too
am, good advice coming.
I too am an actor slash writer slash other things
slash
you don't know what you're going to be doing.
Yeah.
And I was told just have your name on it and your contact information, and then you can write quickly, jot down on something specific to why you're with that person.
Good call.
Because if they put that in their pocket, Ian Boothby, right? Which one was that? And then you're going to go, like, Comic-Con 2015 or something, right? Or whatever little note you want to put on the back or something.
Yeah.
Or even on the front space where you would have writer.
My last card, I think, said, do you like magic? And it was, like, a guy with a magic hat. Neither do I. And it was just me. This is my name and my phone number.
But I think you were only heading in one direction. You were only aiming at one job if you had business cards in, right?
Can I tell you guys the One Direction story?
Very comedy related.
Yeah, generally. Oh, and Dave has his second One Direction story.
Just joking.
Nope. That was, by the way, Dave's one story.
That was a well, you know, it was funny.
It was funny.
It was the best thing on the show.
It was
so
Dave.
Far.
Oh, I didn't do the
as
end.
Usual carrying the show.
I've been watching the monitor thing here that goes up, and I saw it did. It peaked.
Yeah,
it during peaked that
there,
story.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the phone lines are lighting up. But that's all for student loans. So let's ignore those, and we'll just move on.
Quick and serve. Collections is called.
But the business cards, like, I think you're right. I think the jokey business card has gone the way of the jokey answering machine message, which has now become the jokey voicemail message, which no one does.
No.
No, you don't call anyone up and then they're rapping and just like, I'm not here, so let me say. You know, that was really of a different time.
That's
so
a
for
shame.
Some reason, no one leaves anything funny at all on an iPhone.
So those famous people ones that are on the cassettes.
Yeah. This is James Earl Jones.
Not the impressions, but actual famous people that did a bunch.
Yeah, well, that's James Earl Jones.
Oh, he did one of them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He would do, like, here's the thing with James Earl Jones. He will actually do your answering machine. I know we don't have answering machines. But, like, he would do your voicemail for a donation to charity. And he's got a charity. So if you approach him, you go like, it's like, okay, if you're donating this to charity, all right, I will. And so that he's just, you know, because it's easy for him to do and it's fine.
That's
but only
fantastic.
If you're at a place, you know, don't bother
not
him
here.
In the John, you know, or anything like that or at the porno theater.
I had him do that as Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
I got arrested for obscene phone calls.
I made the mistake of getting David Prowse to do a mine.
Hello, I'm Darth Vader.
To be fair, he was the original voice.
High-pitched Welsh accent. Bloody Luke Skywalker. I can't even do a Welsh. That's a one
hard accent.
The one is a very hard accent.
No, see, that's not it either.
It wasn't until I was a teenager that I cracked the Irish accent. But I could never, ever, I've never been able to crack a Welsh one.
Let's hear it.
The Welsh?
No, you're Irish.
The Irish one? No, I don't.
Do
you want me to do it? Really?
Yeah,
I don't want to do it.
Why don't we all talk with Irish accents for a while? We'll make you feel comfortable then.
Listen, father.
Listen, Dave, you've got a specific set of skills.
Where it came from,
very specific.
I was watching this show called The Irish RM.
I see.
And there was a character on it and he said, did he not, sir? Like the devil himself go running down. Yeah. And as soon as I heard that, that was like my entry into the voice.
So it's the devil.
The devil himself.
Not the devil.
Sir. Not the devil.
Irish people go to the devil.
They go to the devil.
I'm sorry, you're here with the devil? I'm sorry, right next door is the devil.
Devil.
This is the green part of hell. Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, it's beautiful, but it'll burn you. But there's whiskey and dancing girls, and it's beautiful.
Well, it's funny how it just takes that little moment that you feel like, oh, I understand how they speak now. Like, because before it seemed so impossible to...
Yeah. You know, by the way, you should say that to them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just say that directly
all the time. I can't understand a word. I say it to Scottish people. Why can't I say it to Irish people?
Yeah, here's what you. Here's who you
You
don't.
Are Depends incomprehensible.
Depends on what part of Ireland.
Depends what part? Whether they'll kill you or not.
Yeah. Is it Northern Ireland?
Are you a...
I learned most of mine from Father Ted.
Yeah.
That was where I decided that I enjoyed talking with an Irish accent all the time. Okay. So, yeah.
What's the swear word?
Feck.
Feck. Yeah.
Which is okay.
It's totally okay. Feckin' Like, really? You can say good for you.
But they also have shite, right? Which they can
shite.
Use.
Oh, shite, yeah. But you can say shit on North American TV now.
Oh, you can.
Yeah, you're allowed to say. You're allowed a certain amount. You can take three shits a show. I think there is a certain amount of shits you're allowed, and there's on not HBO, but like Showtime or something. You're allowed like one fuck, and it just goes down the line. You know,
okay.
Before you start getting well,
I can
in trouble.
See. I was thinking more cable. Like you can say shit on cable, like on like yeah. NBC and stuff.
Yeah,
like that?
Can you on NBC?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember that when NYPD Blue, they let them say like "son of a bitch," and I think
you can say
we think even got in there. A couple
I think
times.
You can say shit. Yeah. Yeah. What happened with that? That was weird, eh? Like NYPD Blue, you could see nudity.
Yeah.
And then you couldn't. And then never again. That was it. It's like, this is
you're going to see it again. You're going to see a lot
on
of
network
it again.
TV?
Network TV. My prediction from a little article I read, and I went, oh, this is the truth. This is the gospel. This is what's going to happen. Because of all the big cable shows, and by cable shows, I mean, you know, your TNT, your
sure,
HBO,
sure, sure.
your all that, FX. Because they're getting all the attention and the network shows are suffering.
Yeah.
They've been gone. They've gone to the whatever it's called, not the CT.
FCC.
FCC, and they want to loosen all of those rules in order to compete because they're losing audiences and they're feeling.
Wait,
part
FCC?
Of the
that spells feck.
They're in already. You can't deny me this. Your feckin' name is feck. For feck's sake, you shite.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't go to shite, did you?
Oh, I went to shite.
Oh,
we
no,
went there
the
first.
Yeah, the network's going to shite. We got to go to feck. Because it's all going to shite.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's my prediction.
Oh, well, it's possible. I mean, you look at a show like Hannibal.
Oh,
it's very graphic.
Perfect example.
Very graphic.
You can show well done, you can David. Show a breast as long as it's inside out.
Show a breast as long as there's an antler through it.
Yeah.
That's
it's not
fine.
Attached.
Now, if you have an antler going through where the nipple
would
be, God bless
fine.
You, sir.
That's fine. Oh. The most carefully placed naked woman.
Now, let me say, and here's the other thing. You know that show is going to be rerun at some point at like 2 in the afternoon. I mean, that's what's going to happen. You look at like Law and Order, Rapey Rape Unit, and that's on at like 8 in the damn morning.
Yeah, well, same with Criminal Minds.
I haven't really watched Criminal Minds.
Well, once again, it's a serial...
Is that based on the Gowan song?
It's right. It's one of those shows where, like, apparently there are 1 million serial killers working in the United States because there's so many people taking care of them
and
in various ways.
And I can't get a job up here.
And not only that...
I'm Canadian serial killers.
They're taking our jobs.
If you investigate serial killers, another serial killer will immediately try to kill you.
Yeah.
Will become obsessed with you and try to kill you. It's a very dangerous job, apparently. I didn't know that. But
is that the premise of Hannibal?
No, this
Minds.
Is Criminal Minds.
Criminal Minds.
Because I think there's like 6 people in the team, and every one of them at some point has been followed, kidnapped, tortured, and or attempted murdered by another person.
When you're on that
who
long,
is crazy.
It's bound to happen to you.
Well, that's when CSI, the original CSI, I think, started being bad.
That little furniture guy.
Yeah, the second they brought serial killer into it, boo, done. Yeah. What you want
is... not just that, but
go ahead.
Super brilliant serial
killer. Fuck off. You want what the show was, which was, hey, we speak for the victims.
Yeah.
Hey, you're always going to leave something behind. You can't get away with it because there's always something you're going to leave behind. And then you get like, you know, the mastermind from a super, fights Batman. It's just like, fuck off. Fuck off. But you're also missing your point, which is like, we're on the side of the good guys, right? We're not trying to make the bad guys super cool and awesome, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they lost the plot and then now the bad guys are all
fantastic. Where they really jumped.
Feckin' fantastic.
They jumped to the furry shark when they had the furry episode. That's when it really ended.
Well, I'll tell you, that was something I actually didn't mind about CSI, at least for like one season. They kind of went like, what are fetishes and weird things about people? This. You know what? Let's just go that they're normal. So they had like a little person episode. They had like a fat person episode. They had like an episode where it was like people are into this and that and the other. And it's always just like, meh. You know, this person's in S&M, and Grissom, was kind of cool with the gal, and they kind of had a little thing going, but he wasn't super into that.
Yeah. Mistress,
but it,
whatever,
yeah,
Heather.
But it was just like, you're a person fully, and it was like, oh, I like this, that everyone's weird, but just because you're weird doesn't mean you're bad. The bad guys are bad. This is just weird, and you found out what works for you, and it's fine.
Although I was talking to someone who's tangentially involved in the furry community, and he told me that episode of CSI is kind of regarded the same way the Quincy Punk episode is regarded as, that sort of... what's the over-the-top sensationalistic?
Are you familiar with the Quincy Punk episode?
No,
Michael.
Oh, I was gonna. I was gonna ask at the end of that.
I really don't remember it. I'm sorry.
Okay, here's what it was. It was an episode. It was one of those. It's along the lines of what's the one with the we're smoking marijuana. Everyone goes cuckoo bananas.
Dragnet.
Reefer Madness.
Reefer Madness. Oh, Reefer
yeah.
Madness.
Yeah, Dragnet. Because they're all taking a drag.
Well, no, but they did. There was.
Was that the LSD, was the Stoner
the
Detective
LSD
show?
Dragnet right. episode.
Was it the white shadow? Were you thinking the white shadow?
Well, yeah. Like Dave's saying, all of these.
Welcome back, Cotter. Right.
All of the all of the episodes where someone took a bit of LSD and jumped out a window.
Yeah.
Okay. It's of that ilk.
Yeah.
Where it's like these punk rockers who are it basically ends with Quincy saying, "Why do they have to dance to the music of hate when they can dance to the music of love?"
Yeah, that's
you know,
right.
And he's
yeah.
dancing to some
and
swing
he's so,
music with
he's
his
so
gal.
Upset with the nihilism of the whole thing. What makes
there's a Chips episode that's very similar.
Yes,
to
that's
that.
Right. And what makes it so terrible is that, of course, these people who are punks are just you know actors who really can't afford to have like their actually look.
They're
punk,
in
so
punk face.
They're in punk face. So their long feathered hair has been styled slightly differently, but yet they don't look all that different.
Yeah. And I guarantee one or two of them have gone on to be probably more famous. You're looking going. What an idiot. I know he had to take the acting job, but it's so-and-so.
Yeah.
Joey Pantoliano or something, right?
Well, we've been watching, P and I have been like watching, kind of, we're doing a little parody of like a cop thing right now. And
at
we're
home?
Watching.
Privately?
Oh, what's that? Privately?
At home.
We cosplay at home.
Okay, that's cool.
They did a CSI episode about people. Like yeah. They call them cop causers. We do cop cosplay in our home.
Yeah.
And we get the cat to dress up as the murder victim. Anyway, what happens is I'm the serial killer. So anyway, long story short, I became the thing I feared. I looked into the abyss. The abyss looked back at me. Long story short. Anyway, so we've been watching TJ Hooker. And TJ Hooker, every episode is that. Every episode is just like, these drugs are destroying our community. Why don't people learn? And then and the rookie's like, hey, what's so hot in the collar? I'll tell you why. God damn it. And it's that kind of thing.
There was this. I watched all of season one. Well, I think season one was really short, right? And then season two is when they released
Hooker?
It on DVD.
Yes. You can see TJ Hooker on Crackle for free.
Okay. At somewhere
that's,
in that first
that's
couple
the best
of seasons,
price.
Well, I got them on DVD really cheap.
Okay.
Somewhere
don't
in there, there's
us.
An episode where he wanted to. He seemed to run in almost every episode.
Yeah, and he usually would jump on a car
yeah,
or a
there
bus.
Yeah, there was one with a bus. And
yes, we just watched the bus one.
That whole episode was so good. I said, if you want to use that to show somebody and go. You want to see a really bad episode of TV? That was a great
though the stunt
episode.
Of running, like he was running on a really high wall, really high wall as a bus is going by, and you're like, and oh, by the way, the bus is full of nuns, which is why he can't shoot at the bus, because the bus is full of nuns, so he can't shoot
why
the
not?
Person.
They're going to go to heaven.
Well, there you go. Yeah, and then see their
not
husband.
A bus.
Really, their brides of Christ.
But yeah, and he was doing a lot, like not maybe not the stunt, but he was running
on that.
He was
doing a big run up on a very high thing. Like, admittedly, there must be something underneath to make Shatner not fall. But he was doing some good stunts. And then, yeah, stuntman, clearly different guy, different hair, does a jump from this high wall onto a moving bus. And you're like, there's no wires.
No.
There was no wires. That was a fucking good stunt. Like, there's a lot of that business in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, at some point, there's always the equivalent of the scene from Raiders where, you know, they're climbing up on the roof to, you know, on the Jeep and the punching through the window. And everyone can drive fine, by the way, while getting punched in the head in these shows. Just bam, bam, bam. Straight as an arrow. It's just like, what driver's test did you take?
Have you caught any yeah. SWAT? It's also on Crackle.
No, I haven't seen SWAT yet.
Doo-loo, 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 doo-loo. That song was a hit song.
It was. That was an awesome theme song. But I love those 70s cop shows. Mm-hmm. Those are like some fantastic stuff. But yeah,
oh, man, I don't.
Robert Urich. No, I was just actually the other day watching a couple episodes of Streets in San Francisco.
Well, my commiserations.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, when was the last time you saw them? Was it in the 70s?
I know it was probably sometime in the... It used to be on KVOS on Sunday
yeah.
nights at
yeah.
11. So I did catch a little
but
bit of them.
You were, what, like a late teenager
I was
at that
teenager,
point?
Sure.
Yeah, you're like an angry young man.
That's right. I was angry at them. Fucking San Francisco!
Well, you're also a judgmental young man, because that's the age of judgment. You're like, this is stupid. It's all bullshit. I'm leaving. Slam.
What,
I got nowhere to
what
go.
Am I now? I'm now the age of complacency. That's good enough. Might as well watch it anyway.
Well, we're watching it at
what
irony,
else am I
going
right?
to
do?
Is that why we're watching it?
Why are we watching
ironically?
It? Well, I'm watching it actually as a basis for a thing that I'm working on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why am I watching? What's wrong with me?
I tried watching Kojak and I couldn't get through it.
I couldn't get through Canon. Canon, a couple episodes. Mod Squad. Yeah. Didn't hold up. Streets of San Francisco works.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I find it.
I'm waiting for judgment. When you're talking old-timey judgmental shows, as in, like, here's the problem of the week, I would love to see a Room 222. I used to love that as a kid. They had their acid episode.
Mm-hmm.
All kids took a little acid and jumped out the second-story window.
Why not?
Yeah.
What else is there to do? You're a teenager.
You know what?
That's the age of judgment. Bad judgment.
Throw some trampolines on the ground. Kids are on LSD.
I was always afraid of LSD. Until I started using it. No, I was. I never did any.
And then this dragon said to me, "Why so scared?" And I went, "I don't know, Mr. Puffaloff."
No, but it feared me because there was always a couple. There was a couple of guys that I went to high school with that would tell me, "It's like you would be so hilarious on acid." So I was always, anytime I went to a party, I was like, I was almost like, you know, a girl with a, like, "Oh, I don't want to get roofied." And I'm like, I always thought they would do that to me. And these were the kind of morons that would.
Usually they
got far drunker and forgot about that by the time it would have
There's
ever happened.
There's a terrible David Collier story about...
Terrible as the situation, or he's a terrible,
terrible situation.
Artist.
No, it's a great story.
That's what I
assumed. It's incredibly moving. This story itself is terrible because it's about this boy who was... He was kind of an artist, very talented in high school and stuff like that. And yeah, he got dosed at a party. And just that was it for him. He was forever after just a mental case.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
And there's lots of examples of, like, Sid Barrett and Brian Wilson, and I could...
Now, was Brian Wilson just a one-shot and then...
No, I think it was a case of
extended
abuse.
Use.
John Lennon was an example of someone who, you know, really went down that road and didn't lose his mind, but he definitely, while he was, I guess, an addict in a way, because he used it every day a lot, you know, he just lost the plot, you know.
Yeah.
But someone like Barrett or Brian Wilson, I mean, they literally became schizophrenic. You know, and so it's some kind of trigger. I have to say, it was the one drug that seemed interesting to me when I was a teenager, but I was also afraid of it. I just couldn't see the risks seemed better than the possible reward.
What attracted you? The fame behind it? The other people who took it?
No, what attracted me was the idea of the sort of mind expanding, mind opening.
Oh, okay.
Idea of, you know, taking this drug and it's supposed to, like.
Are you the type of person who can stare at something until it moves?
Yes.
Yeah, you're all right then. And you can probably do it. It's fine. Like, not as in don't do the drug, but it's like, the I've only done it once because this girl I was going out with was a jerk to me at a party, and I went like, screw it. I'm leaving. And then two goth girls were like, we're going to do some acid and go hang out, and they were pretty goth girls.
Yeah.
And I went, yeah, that sounds good. So we had to go to the Marine Club, and I put a Chilliwack song on and almost got beat up, and they went, let's just leave, and we're going to go do some acid. And I went, okay, because you're an idiot, clearly.
Song was it? Gone, 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 She's Been Gone.
I believe
so
it was, yeah. Okay. And I thought, like,
that's a terrible song.
Do you know what would be funny is if I put it on three more times? And they're like, no, you're going
to
get...
Someone should have said to you, Boothby, you don't need drugs. Because that's what I get all the time.
I don't think those two things mixed.
What? Chilliwack
and acid? I don't know.
I do not know. Have we been gone so long? We've been gone, gone, gone so long. How many times have I played this song? So anyway, I did it. And then it was like, oh, I get the 70s. I get it. It's like, oh, well, this all makes sense. All the Peter Max things, all the colors changed to that thing.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, oh, this is like, because as a kid, I used to hallucinate. And I was like, oh, it's this again. And here we go. And there was like a brief scary time, but it was just like, I get it. It's basically like you're in a dream, but your dream is awake and it's that kind of thing. And sometimes you can control it and sometimes you can't. But it took me forever to get out of it. Like I was like, days later, I'd be like, I'm a little bit still in this. And,
really?
And that I didn't like. The rubber band didn't snap back.
That happened to Robert Crumb as well. Yeah. He took some acid and he was on a really, really, quite a long trip. And actually, that's where most of his famous characters came out of that period.
Mm-hmm.
He just drew them in his sketchbook. It just kind of opened this well of creativity. So I think I was interested in that way. But yeah, just the risks. I mean, knowing of people like Wilson or Sid Barrett, and there's other ones too. I just. Sky Saxon from The Seeds. There's lots of people.
Yeah, my problem was the snapback. I didn't want to. Mm-hmm. And something like cocaine never interested me. Just because the people who were doing it didn't mm-hmm. interest me. Like I,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You ever tried it?
No, I didn't. It was really popular back, like punchlines in the 80s. You'd go into the bathroom and you know, I could list like famous comedians and they'd, you know, there'd be like still some on the back of the toilet, right? That's where they'd do it. They'd clean it off and do that. And I was like, all right. But, you know, it makes you talk. And it makes you lose your fear of talking. And that, you know, as a comedian, those are things you need to do.
But I tried it a couple times.
Yeah.
Back then.
During this show.
And bet you didn't even notice.
Well, during Dave's story. How could you not?
Just to stay awake. Just to get my heart rate back up. No, but it was.
What story was that?
But what you're saying the exact same thing. Everything that it did to me, I went, oh, this makes normal people behave like me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need this. And I went, I'm now Robin Williams, was what I said at the time. I went, I'm just faster. I'm being funny, I'm being honest. Things were just sparking. And I went, I get this. I'm not doing it anymore because I don't feel like I need it. But I went, that's why if you're shy, if you're inhibited, if you're, you know, whatever, and you did that and you came out like the three of us and you went, hey, how you doing? I have a podcast. Like, then you go, well, no wonder you got hooked on this.
Oh, well, I'm going to use it for the live show on Sunday.
Yeah. That's an early afternoon show, which is great.
Yeah.
That's when you want to do some blow.
Yeah.
I'm
going to need it.
Cock-a-doodle-doo with the old eggs and blow.
Good morning, Vietnam.
Yeah. No, it was bizarre. The one time we did, this is a funny story. The one time we did, I got invited to a bachelor party of, I was friends with the girl who got married. So I didn't really know the guy and his friends. But a few of us guy friends of hers got invited to this party somewhere in Vancouver, somewhere where I don't remember where it was. And the best man was like a Coke dealer or something. So he had mountains of Coke.
His speech went on forever.
Really fast.
But he was like, you can have as much as you want. You only have to put in $20. Just, and it felt like a legal thing, you know what I mean? It's like, so that you sign this membership card,
okay.
And you can do whatever you want, but you got to show you're here. You're in with this, right? And I was just saying, yeah, whatever, fine. But I just remember, like, some of the people, just like this one of my friends coming up to me, just like sweating, and his teeth all together, like, listen, I'm just going to do more of this stuff, the crazy shit, and just like, trying. I'm just like, yeah, I don't like this stuff. Then a cab shows up with two, like, 20-year-old, like, crack hookers that start having a sex act and then offering to service anyone who was interested. And that's when me and my other friends from out in Langley, Alder River, we gotta go home. We gotta get out of here. Still all like 21. I was like, what the hell? I said, this is like the worst episode of Miami Vice.
Yeah.
I said, it just was like, if it was done on a show, it'd be like, oh, this is glamorous, you know, crime. But this was just, ugh. Everything about it was just that. So,
it's like a cocaine buffet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can have all you want, but use all you take.
Yeah, but this was like a cocaine Uncle Willie's buffet. Like it was.
Okay, no one. Okay, okay. If you know what Uncle Willie's is,
you'll be chuckling.
You'll be chuckling at that, and if you don't, just guess what it is.
If you're from the prairies, maybe Bonanza. Would that be better?
Sure, Bonanza's good.
Is that good?
Yeah. Or from Alberta, Bullwinkles.
Is there a Bullwinkles?
No, there used to be a Bullwinkles, yeah.
Oh,
did you never see that?
No.
Like, there was one thing when I went to visit Calgary. We're all talking about vices. We went with a band trip, and we were 18, right? We were in high school, but we were 18.
Yeah.
And so when you cross the border, you could drink. So it's like, ha-ha, you know, nothing you could do, teachers. You have no power over us. So second we crossed the border. Well, actually, it was great because there was a landslide in Revelstoke, and we all got trapped for a while and couldn't. So we're all, can't drink. And I don't even want to drink, but I'm like, I just want to fit in with everybody. Some girls want to drink. It's all girl-related with me. So we finally did cross over, and we went and drink. And then we went walking around, and yeah, there was a Bullwinkle's restaurant, and the Bullwinkle's restaurant had a gigantic Bullwinkle as the sign. I was like, this is the greatest thing.
It's Alberta slang for a penis, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the Bullwinkle in the Rockies is what they call it. Yeah, and I wanted to go, and my friends didn't, because they all wanted to go to the zoo and see the silverback gorilla, because there was a silverback gorilla. I was like, we got to see the silverback gorilla. And then there was no, it was closed. So we didn't get to go to Bullwinkle's or see the gorilla. And that was my trip. And then we went and we got drunk, and everyone wanted to box, and that was no fun. And so we went to the wave pool drunk, and it was like, hey, this wave pool's great. And so we're all, okay, I'll just
blarf.
Say this. No, here's the one thing.
Coming at you.
Yeah, here you go. Nothing you can do. But here was the one thing about the wave pool. It's the first wave pool I'd ever been to.
Okay.
Have you been to a wave pool?
Yeah.
They can be harsh.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
We're there, and we're the full music. So it's all music nerds. Okay.
Yeah.
But a couple of us are the cool choir kids. We're just singers, man. Whatevs. We don't play no instrument. Blah. We're going to have to carry our tuba. So we're all swimming, and everyone's daring each other, like, why don't we all go streaking? If we all do it, we can't get arrested. But we didn't. Just two guys did. They looked ridiculous.
Did they get arrested?
No, they got, like, scorned.
Okay, scorned.
Okay. Publicly?
And shunned.
Yeah, they were publicly scorned. They put an A on their asses. A red letter A for ass.
From the music team.
But here was the thing. Two of the people in our group were professional lifeguards, worked as lifeguards. And those were the two that almost drowned. The rest of us were fine. Those two made the mistake of, I'm stronger than these waves. Oh, okay. I'll fight the waves. No. And, hey, no, you won't. And both of them seriously almost drowned.
Yeah.
But it was only the two lifeguards.
It's,
it was like, hey,
it's pretty harsh. When Lisa and I were younger, we looked after the son. He was just a little boy at the time, of a friend of Lisa's. She, I guess, wanted some free time. So we said, oh, we'll just take him to the pool. So we took him to the wave pool in Langley.
Right.
And somehow we were near the corner, and there was this big wave that came. It splashed up, and then when it sucked back, it like this left this huge cavity, like this huge kind of vacuum. And he just went right down, and then when the water came back, he was gone.
Yeah.
And you're just, so I just like, you know, without even thinking, I just reached out and grabbed him and just pulled him back out of the water, because I was like, this, that is hard. Like, that's crazy how much
it's
strength
undertow.
They have. Yeah, yeah.
That's undertow. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want that in my swimming pool.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't like the wave thing anymore.
So, was Bullwinkle's a buffet?
Well,
someone's obsessing.
Yeah, but oddly enough, William Conrad was eating everything.
Oh,
was there a buffet episode of CSI?
Over by the salad bar. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean. I was thinking about the whole time, though. It wasn't in the back of my mind.
Join us That's for fine. Just Desserts or How Sweet It Ain't. And now, Mr. Peabody and Sherman. You go into the washrooms, you can either go into Sherman or Peabody. I don't know. One's for pooping. Okay, I get it. I'll go to Peabody. That's all I need to do.
I don't need to Sherman.
I gotta do a full Sherman. That was a good show, huh? That Bullwinkle show back in the day. That.
No, when they were probably
Dave
shut
didn't
down.
Like it.
I'm a little too young for that show. I don't remember it being on.
You don't remember it at all? No, that's too bad.
You didn't hunt this stuff down?
Yes,
even
I
as
did.
A, okay.
I'm just Josh.
Because, I mean, I was idea. Too, but I had to hunt down everything. Like, the one I most remember hunting down as a kid was where we lived, which you might relate, because I think you wrote in Langley by that point. Or what?
Nope.
No, not.
North Delta
but,
boy.
Oh, North Delta. Then. So you had cable vision.
Yep.
Okay, then you got Batman. Yep. It was on in the afternoon.
He watched it. He didn't get it.
Well, we didn't.
No, he watched it. He didn't get it.
Channel 11, right?
Yeah.
Ran it in the
afternoon. Are you getting my joke here?
No, yeah.
Okay, good. All right. I don't have to say it a third
time. It wasn't funny, though. So, you know, do you want us to really
I thought you were talking Batman.
No, the show as well.
All right, very good.
But
I just want to say, because the show, I don't remember Batman being on. I didn't see Batman until my grandmother gave us a converter for our television that gave us the ability to go past the channels that we had.
Time?
No, past the channels that we had on the like our regular clunk, 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 turning the channel dial TV. Like, with a converter box, we were able to go up to channel 28, which was KCPQ from Seattle.
And that had it on the afternoon.
And it had it on the afternoon, that's right. But you can only get that if you had the converter box.
My cousins had it, and they lived in Surrey.
Okay.
And I just remembered, I was one of those kids, like, literally, that would be, like, if, you know, oh, we're going to go and visit them. It's like, oh, fantastic. Can we make sure we're there by 3:30?
Yeah.
I need to see this show that I've heard about and seen photos of. I need to see this. You have no idea how important it is.
Well, I think I'd see before that, though.
I never wanted to watch things. That would be, like, you know, so.
I'd seen the movie, the Batman movie. I'd seen that already. And it was terribly boring to me. So I just wasn't that thrilled by the TV show. But they also showed, like, Land of the Giants, the one where the people get shrunk down or go to a place where they're smaller.
Oh, great, yeah.
The Irwin Allen show, which wasn't all that great either.
But
you're excited.
Disagreements on this. You see it was great. You say it was not great.
Well, you're just excited when you're a kid, though, to see something different from what you'd seen. But, you know,
very different colors, really, and all great theme songs. So many great theme songs.
Yeah.
You know, even if, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm just thinking about the song, the It's About Time. Did you ever see that sitcom?
Finally. This is one that, see, I'm still doing this as an adult, that I finally saw that about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Six of them.
It was you know, a lot of times you'd get in these old ones, astronauts go, something fucks up, and now you're in Planet of the Apes. Astronauts land, and you found a genie. Astronauts land, and now you're back in time. You know, because if you're an astronaut, shit goes down.
Well, remember I was talking about that show that I vaguely remembered as a kid, where the people ended up going into some sort of different dimension, and they're like trying to travel through it.
Did you realize
Fantastic what it was? Journey?
Fantastic Journey, that's right, which they are on. Like
Roddy McDowell.
Roddy McDowell was on it, yeah. And they're
Ike Eisenman
from Escape
Where
Torch
were
Mountain.
You last week?
The show, we just talked about it after, but
then I was a phone call away.
But it was on, yeah, it takes place, it kind of centers around the Bermuda Triangle, like in the Bermuda Triangle. And some sort of thing happens, and they end up on this weird island that has various times in it.
Well, the people are from various times.
Yeah, that's right.
All the main characters.
And, so but also the people they meet. The 70s. Also the people they meet during their journeys as well.
Yeah.
And then there's a character who's from like 2800.
He's from Atlantis. There's the one person from Atlantis, yeah, lost continent of Atlantis.
You must see, the last time I saw this show, I was probably in grade four or something like that.
So. There's some on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
I ended up buying the complete series of bootlegged off of something on eBay once, like about 10 years ago, because that was one of those shows that I had a vague memory.
Yeah,
needed,
you remember it.
Needed to own.
Yeah, and I just remember, I remember enjoying it enough. But, I mean, when you're that age, I mean, I enjoyed Salvage 1, the Andy Griffith show, where he goes to the moon in a rocket made in a junkyard, you know. So you're not your standards aren't exactly the highest. And then there was The Invisible Man with David McCallum. Do you remember that show?
Yeah. They recently put that out on DVD, the complete series.
See, I wasn't allowed to watch it, but I was allowed to sneak into the TV room because I had to go to get bed at a very strict time.
Oh, it's time.
Yeah, it was 9. It was on at 9 o'clock.
It wasn't because of content.
It wasn't because of content.
It was because they were sick of you.
It was because my mom got sick of us.
After 8 is us. It's just more of you boys.
Yeah. That's right. There's three boys, so you can see why my mom wanted to get us. So.
Yeah, they wanted you to be the invisible boys.
Invisible boys. There's only a certain amount of chaos and fighting and stuff you can take in any given day. You know, so then. It's kind of funny. We were talking to some people the other day about Jackass. And the one lady was saying, like, well, why do you like Jackass? And I said, well, this reminds me of what we did when we were kids.
Yeah.
And that's not that shitting in a toilet in a store. Like, stuff like that I don't really like. But I like it when they're, like, hurting each other. Like,
the
to me,
physical,
that's just funny.
The physical sort of
dares. Because, you know, we used to sack each other all the time. That was, like, something my brothers and I and other friends did. I don't know why we thought it was hilarious, but for some reason, we thought it was so funny that if you were sitting on the couch with your legs spread, someone would punch you in the nuts. Like, it just, without fail, you know, like, and we just thought it was
Jack Reacher agrees.
That's right, yeah. And we just thought it was, like, hilarious. And so when I watch Jackass now, it just makes me laugh that there's grown men who are still engaging in that kind of... Because, you know, you reach a certain age in life, and people just... They lose that sense of humor.
Well, they don't... Yeah, you can't nut punch someone in their 30s at the office.
No one wants to get nut punched anymore.
Otherwise, you not expect to go to work again the next day.
Well, here's where it gets... Like, I mean, I'm fine with Jackass 1. Jackass 1, the movie, it's fine.
Yeah, it's good.
But I'm worried, like, I don't want to see Jackass 3, because I'm like, I know you guys need to up the stakes now. And I want to say... Don't up the stakes.
Yeah.
Don't. You're making a mistake making it bigger now.
Okay.
I'm fine with what it was.
It actually
for the one.
Seems like it kind of pulls back a little bit from 2.
Well, they are getting a little older too.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one thing about the show is you watch it. It's like watching a bunch of people who have been replaced by beef jerky. Like, it's like they're not humans anymore. They're just bits of dried meat.
So it was sort of a more violent Betty White's off your rocker.
Yeah.
Now is that what Jackass 3 is sort of like?
But they still, like, I don't enjoy, like, the prank things where they, like, old people and they go in and torment some, you know, there's, like, people who are trying to be genuinely nice to old people and they just get shit on. You know?
I got a bit of a beef with that kind
of
business,
fair.
Too.
Like, I mean, if they're assholes, and of course, maybe that'd be funny. There'd be some kind of payback. But somebody who's genuinely caring and trying to help this idiot, and it's all a joke and they're being filmed and ha, 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 you're just like,
well,
nah.
That's one of my problems with going and visiting Montreal now is I'm just worried I'll be in a Just for Laughs gag. I just think of, like, how many are shooting and how many they don't use. And I'm like, my Lord, you got a lot of turnover on this.
Yeah.
And, like, how do I know you're a cop? I don't know. Oh,
well,
geez.
If water sprays out of the flower on his collar, he's not a cop.
And how can you pretend to be a cop? How can you dress as a cop and, like, pull someone over? I've seen them do that. I'm like, you can't pull a person over, you crazy fucking province. What's wrong with you? Apparently you can only do it in that province.
Is that right?
That's true.
Or that's just one to find it really funny.
Well, I've never seen any other show where a guy dresses as a cop and goes, pull it over.
Because in Quebec they have a volunteer police force. So any time you can volunteer for the police force.
I thought you were being sincere.
So did I. I was going, because I know nothing.
There's volunteer fire department.
Really?
Look, there's some crazy ass.
His costume. Uniform costume.
There's some crazy shit in that province.
Stop in the name of the voluntary law.
Please, if you care to. But only if you wish to.
If you only wish to.
Volunteer.
That's right. Hi, we're the volunteer fire department. Do you want us to put this out? Or
yeah.
It's your call.
Seems kind of dangerous, you know.
I don't know. Hey, fellas, do you want to take this one?
It's kind of hot, actually.
It's a long way.
It seems kind of, I don't know.
Listen, we wish we could, but we're going to take a vote.
Here's
and
the thing.
You know what? No hard feelings if you walk away. Guys.
What I figure is by now we've been talking, it's too late.
Yeah.
Really, you know, like, by the time we have a vote.
Who wants pancakes?
We brought some hot dogs with us. If anyone wants a weenie roast, this is the time.
That's always actually my favorite scene in a movie, if they it is like where someone
In the
goes,
sting?
What?
that famous scene where they host the building's on fire and they have a weenie roast.
Yeah, I like. Oh, well, I like the sting. I'm not gonna.
And
say
Jaws, they do it in Jaws. The boat's on fire and they have a weenie roast.
That's good. Okay.
Godfather.
If you want to keep your,
that's right.
Keep your weenie.
The famous
list.
Scene where Abe Vigoda shows them how to cook hot dogs on a burning corpse.
Right.
Then they put the one in Marlon Brando's mouth and make it look like it's smiling.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you pronounce his name?
In Hamlet.
Yes, famous.
Name. Yeah.
Yeah, the father of Hamlet.
Weenie or not weenie. Okay, listen. I've completely forgotten what I was going to say. Oh, no. What I like in a movie is like they have that scene where it's like, all right, fellas, it's going to be dangerous. Anyone doesn't want to be part of this, doesn't have to be part of this. And I always love the guy who's like, that is... I'm going to step away. And they leave. I always love that. In Cop,
does it happen?
Copland is one of my favorite examples of that, okay. Where you got Janine Garofalo through the whole movie.
Yeah.
And then he's going to go and do the big fight at the end, Sylvester
yeah.
Stallone.
Yeah.
And he's like, now this is going to be really dangerous. And yeah. And she goes, yeah, I'd rather not. And you think she's going to Han Solo it and come back at the end and shoot the guy. Nope. Yeah. She's gone. She's had enough. She knows this is dangerous. I didn't sign up for this bullshit. So long. I love that. I love anyone
I guess
in a movie.
I guess it's realistic because really, like if that happened to me, I would totally go along. Like even though I knew inside, I'd be like, oh, fuck, I'm dead. I am dead. This is it for me. But I'd be like, I don't want to be a pussy and wimp out. Like, mm-hmm. I got to go. I would, with my head hung low, I would be following like, everyone. I can't believe I'm doing this.
That's a very old-fashioned, chivalrous kind of attitude.
Mine?
Well, yeah, because that's going to war. That's doing all those things. You're going along with it.
Yeah,
but when I'm just like, what?
Kinda,
seriously?
Seems kind of dumb.
Because we can go. I don't have to go.
Yeah.
No hard feelings. Like if you guys come back three or four of you, we can still
no,
like, go for
there'd be
pizza
hard feelings. And, oh, there'd be hard feelings.
Well, then I'd have to go.
No. Here's the thing about chivalry, which you don't understand. Everyone that was chivalrous in the past, they'd be dead now anyway.
That's why
so it doesn't matter. It matters to us because we're the only ones that would still be alive.
Yeah.
So that's why it matters because we live now. Back in the old days, you're going to be dead now anyway. So now doesn't fucking matter. So that's
well,
the
that's
thing.
Why chivalry,
point.
That's where the word shovel comes from chivalry, from digging the grave.
Yep.
Yeah.
By the way, here's something I want to ask you both about.
That's a little internet word lesson for you, everybody.
You know when they say that old, before you embark on a revenge, dig two graves?
Yes.
Who's putting you in those fucking graves? You're not going to, like, what, you're going to be
your wife and
wounded?
Children.
You
your wife
the
and
guy
your and wife and children, sir.
What? But your wife and children are going to bury the other guy?
Yeah.
Next to you?
Yeah.
That's weird. Yeah. Why do you want to, like, matching graves?
What happens is the wife buries you, then she goes in the other grave and just pulls in the dirt on herself.
What about the other corpse that's out there
it's
now?
Fine. It's fine. It'll take care of itself.
Before you go on a journey, dig your wife's grave.
It's a very old-fashioned it's a very old-fashioned idea.
I like that scene. That would be in a Western, right? They're kind of just, yeah, before I leave, I'm going to dig your graves for you guys. It's a lot of hard. What are you saying? I'm just saying.
No.
Really tough around here with the
do you know what I really
and the
thinking
Indians,
of
you know, just
thinking of
case.
Graves what I love are the graves they dig on Supernatural. Like they dig a grave every episode and they're always perfectly square like or
a
rectangle.
They got a lot of practice.
Like this like they're just carefully with their shovel digging up and down and making it all work. It's fine, it's fine. We're fine. We're fine.
All right. Whenever you need to go, Michael, you just say,
yeah, you just
and
us.
You shoot the bat rope into the air and keep going. Now, here's my question about, like, you know when they got those movies where it's always the mob movies, and they're like, we're going to take you to the woods.
This is like Les Miserables, like the mobs of people storming the Bastille?
That's it.
Okay.
I'm just going to talk to Michael for a while. Michael, you know we got mob movies.
Yeah.
We're taking you out to the area they always take people out to, and you got to dig the grave, and you got to do that kind of business. I would always love to see something where someone planned for that and buried weapons where the grave is. I got to ask you one favor. I've always loved this cherry tree. And I ask you one question, my friend. You know, one paisan to another. If we could just bury me under the cherry tree. Well, all right, we'll bury you under the cherry tree. But you got to dig your own grave. I understand. I will bury. But if I could just... Could I have a moment to say a prayer in my grave? Oh, of course you can in the grave. All right. And then just flamethrower in the grave, burn everybody.
What would be so great is if he pulls the gun out.
I really like that. If that was in a movie, I'd go, oh, who would have thought that's fantastic?
No, but you pull the gun out and it's bent in half by the shovel. Oh, shit. No, that wouldn't work so well.
Right. And that's where, and in the grave, you've got a robot. And that robot is trained to kill.
All right. Maybe not such a
good. The robot's playing video games with you?
That's right. That's
what Virtua?
Yeah, Godfather 4.
Virtua boy.
All robots.
Virtua gangster.
Now, how are you doing for time, Michael? You let us know and we'll...
I'm soon. Just due to parking, I was over... Underreacted.
Underreacted.
About parking.
You underacted.
You
as
underacted.
An actor, you know you got to play it
small.
Yeah, you
got to play it.
Yeah.
Tone it down a bit.
Me? I don't have that ability.
Oh, speaking of Supernatural, I saw Mike on Supernatural. He had a snake.
And was he toning it down?
He had a snake.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I was a witness to a crime.
Yeah.
And I was playing a guy who was bullied in high school. to the guy who
did
was
you have
the
snake at the time, but it was smaller? Like, you had a
yeah. Like, oh, I wasn't thought of that at the time. That's hilarious.
Tiny snake.
Yeah, was this the same? Because it was a big snake, right?
Yeah, it was a large.
No, what would be funny is if, like, in high school, you had to do that experiment where you had to keep an egg alive, but you didn't realize your egg was a snake egg.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, it breaks, and like, you know what? I'm going to raise this. I'm going to raise this proper. And then, like, cut to in the future.
No one else loved me but this snake.
Was there a snake
Donnie
handler, like,
Marie.
Like, slightly off camera? There's a
snake
guy
not
there?
Not with me. The snake handler, if you see the episode, was behind the couch with that 11-foot-long albino python.
Oh, okay.
And trying to get it to go up between the guys on the couch.
Oh.
That thing in the center, it was this big, viewers. No, it was, yeah, it was huge. The snake was unbelievable.
He made the tiniest little thing between two fingers.
It looked like an earthworm.
But the one I had, the first one they put on me, they said, well, you know, okay, if it tries to get away, snake handler says, you know, just grab it and pull it back. But they said, the only thing they don't like is to be grabbed around the throat.
Okay.
And I said, it's a snake. Where's the throat end?
I think near where the head starts, probably. Is.
But anyway, so. But
and
then
it really likes being grabbed around the genitals.
Where are the genitals?
Right next to the throat.
I don't know, snakes.
You know what would be awful, though? Like, when I was a kid, we used to catch garter snakes. And they would always wrap themselves around you, then poo on your
you
somewhere.
Yeah. The defense mechanism, same as mine.
Where'd their poo come from?
From their bum.
What do you think? Where'd it come?
Near the end of them, I assume. Something to come out of their mouth.
Like, just shooting out of the tip? Just pew!
That's right. Pew, pew, pew. So you grab your snake and run around and shoot your friends with it. Pew, pew.
And then they gave me another one that was quite comfortable with me, and then it was fine. But I still never understood at the end of that why you want a snake as a pet. I didn't mind having the snake. I liked the
because
snake.
It kept you nice and warm at night, wrapped around your neck.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I heard a story about that. Do you ever hear that story?
What's that?
I don't know who told me this. This is true.
Is this internet true?
Woman had it. No. Somebody probably is. If you put it on whatever Google and find out that it was. But the woman said that she had a pet snake, and it was a big snake, like a 9-foot, 10-foot snake.
Yeah.
And said it had started like coming up onto her bed at night and sleeping next to her, and she thought that was so cute. It would stretch out all along her. And they went, you need to get rid of that snake now. It's measuring you.
Oh, really?
It's going to eat you.
So it's seeing how long she is, if it can fit her all in.
That's what they said. And
she wakes up, looks at the snake, and goes, nothing.
I
didn't ask any question. Oh, who didn't answer any question?
The snake was a tailor, it turned out.
Yeah.
He was just making a suit of clothes for her.
Yeah, the next day it's got a full outfit.
I need to know the inseam.
What are you doing?
I just said I need to know the inseam. Listen.
It's a talking snake.
Just grab me around the neck. That's not your neck.
You don't know that.
Where
does the neck start?
Look, you want
the snake.
There. No, a little lower. No, higher. No, a little lower. No, it's higher. Yeah, yeah.
And that's how you became a snake handler. That's your religion now, snake handler.
That's right.
That's how you got that reputation.
You got to go door to door. Hi, everybody. I'm moving in the neighborhood. You might know me from Adam's Family and some Supernatural. I'm also a registered snake handler. Anyway,
that's old time snake handler.
If you need anyone to take your kid to the wave pool, I'm available. And there you go.
That was my job. But I also handle snakes, too. So
teenage boy does?
I've been watching all of Supernatural for the last little while, so I'm a little obsessed with Sam and Dean. So what were they like?
The band?
Sam
awesome.
Okay. Were they really nice?
Yeah, really nice guys.
Oh, that's good.
And I know because they shot a lot of it, and they probably still do out in Aldergrove, in your neck of the woods.
Okay.
And I know people have like hung around to meet them. They always took the time. They're those kind of guys would come out, sign the stuff, and take pictures and say hello
nice.
And everything.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, now that I know that, I'm going to obsessively follow them around.
Yeah. No, they're pretty cool.
And just say to them, I got One Direction tickets, and my daughters aren't interested. I got two tickets,
fellas. My
daughters
are a year older. They bought this a year ago.
I'll take you to Seattle. I've got a car.
Did I see this coming? Oh, yes, I did. But what can you say? You're a dad. You're not allowed to say anything. Like, in a year, you won't care about this band. You can't say that because it's meaningless to them. All you're saying to them is blah, 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 blah.
If dads didn't say the things that were meaningless, dads wouldn't speak for the most part, right?
What are you trying to say?
I'm saying, remember your father?
That's
remember my father? Remember all of our fathers?
Yes,
the things they said.
And I really don't think that is, are they that fickle at that age? That you think that, like, I mean, if they really, really are obsessed with a band, they're going to forget it and be on to Ollie Muir's this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because my niece is going to that concert here in Vancouver, and they got their tickets back then, and she's, like, as excited today.
Oh, that's great.
As she was
that's
then.
Great.
As soon as, I mean, I don't know
but
if
how
she
old is your, how
to
old is your niece?
15. And so, like, almost to the point of, like, maybe she doesn't listen to it all the time, but if it comes on TV or something, like, we were watching Britain's Got Talent.
Yes.
And this Irish guy sang a One Direction song, and she was just, like, leaped off the couch and was like, oh, my God, he's awesome, and he's singing One Direction. So I mean, I don't think it necessarily goes away. It just might not be in the front of their minds right now.
That's possible.
Do they ever have countries fight against each other in that Got Talent situation? Like, is America's Got Talent?
Britain's Got Boxing. Yeah, the show's mixed up.
Yeah, fighting.
But it seems like
Ireland's good street fighting.
Yes. But it seems like they do that. That seems like an international thing.
It all ends in a headbutt.
Like all the pop idol versus the American idol versus the whatever idol.
Okay,
like
that would be
all
good.
The countries have them. Obviously, they're owned by the same person who licenses this idea.
Simon Cowell.
Wouldn't you then go? We want to do the global version, and
it's called
called
the Eurovision Song Contest.
It's a bit different because you don't have people dressed as Vikings singing and whatnot. Eurovision. I'd never heard of that here, and then I go to Europe, and it's like it's a big
thing. Oh, it is a big thing.
I've
if you saw Monty Python,
watching
you knew
about
it.
The last 5 years, and I'll watch the finals because not only are some of the bands and stuff like you say just like bizarre, and these songs are terrible. Push the button, push the button. These songs are just what? And then it's got.
That's make me want to push the button.
It used to have an Irish DJ, whose name is just Terry Wogan.
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Terry Wogan, yeah. Sir Terry Wogan.
Okay, sorry.
Who would then?
That is a pretty funny name for an Irish DJ, though, Sir Mix-a-Lot. Come on. Come on, fellas.
All right.
I'm being Dave this episode. guys, let that joke go by.
I missed that one, and it was a good one.
But
I'm sorry.
He would crack jokes. He was like very quiet. That's good. Into the thing, and so you're watching Belarus, you know, and he'd make fun of them all. That's a lovely dress, you know, whatever, or just stupid comments. And now it's Graham Norton. And he does the same thing. So you watch it, and he's somewhere watching it with you and just cracking wise all through the whole thing. So it makes... Which doesn't seem right. Like, it should almost go, if you want to watch it and have the piss taken, then it's on Channel 2. If you want the other one, it's on BBC One.
Yeah, it's like you want to have...
This is the only version.
You want to have that as well for, like, the Olympics as well. It's like, if you want to have someone make it fun of these Olympics while this is going on, change the channel, da-da-da-da. You know, but...
Listen to NBC.
Speaking
during
of
the opening... ceremony.
Oh, okay. Oh, they make fun of the...
No, but they were stupid.
Oh, okay.
So they were trying to comment, I think that's Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, they were really having a hard time.
What?
No, that's not Abraham Lincoln.
Kenneth Brown, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that the Mighty Mouse's villain, Oil Can Harry?
What was weird with the Olympics in England? I was in Britain when the Olympics were on. And
Britain's got Dave.
They had these dedicated channels for the events. So, for instance, we were watching the horse, like the equestrian events.
Yeah.
And so you went to this channel. You had to like choose this channel using your remote control, and it took you to like
your
this.
Your juice done, Ian?
What's that?
Your juicer there. You've got going right now.
Yes,
that I can hear. Yep. Is that almost done?
That's right. Yep.
Okay, cool.
There's a couple of hipsters on there.
Sorry, guys.
Retro bikes down below.
This is how I fart.
Well, it takes quite a while, sir.
You've got some kind of power.
So yeah, it was this dedicated channel, and then when the jumping was over, the camera just sits there, and it's still on. Like you can have the channel on, and everyone's gone for lunch or whatever.
Yeah.
And the camera's just sitting there looking at this empty stadium, and it stays like that until it starts later on in the day. But it's weird. Like, it's just
that
a dedicated
weird.
Channel to that one thing.
Huh.
But it's on TV, but you have to access it through some sort of, like...
The red button?
Yeah, it says press the red button, and then you have this access to, like, the...
That's what the push the button song's
that's
all about.
That's what it's about. The TV remotes are a little different in England, so...
They have that for a show, you've been on the show, I'm sure, a couple of times, but it used to be called Urban Rush, and I think it's now just called The Rush, or, you know, a big old rush.
Yeah.
And what they got now is if you go on the internet, you get to see them when they're not doing their business.
Yeah, that's kind of strange, too, isn't it?
A little weird. You get to watch the people getting their mics put on.
Or
and,
what is a lot of is people playing with their phones.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, a lot of people
X-ray,
staring at their phone,
yeah.
like, scrolling.
I wonder if they're checking on the feed and watching themselves on the feed.
Oh, yeah.
And then they hold the phone up to the camera and everything shatters.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Not that I want to watch it, but
so just don't scratch yourself before the things.
It's good to know. It's good to know. Or don't think you're not near so you can badmouth people.
Yes,
because maybe unless they've got the sound down, unless you can hear
no,
that.
They don't. You can hear everything.
Ooh, that's not good.
Like if one of the hosts needs to make an important phone call.
Yeah.
And I happened to watch it once because I was just curious how this worked, and the host had to tell someone her phone number. So she had to leave to do that and then come back again because you can't say your phone number to people who are possibly creeping
Not
you on.
Fiona.
Yeah, it was
sure
Fiona.
She has,
her
know,
followers.
Fans.
Yes.
Followers.
Yes. Yeah. Not all of them savory.
No.
Like me.
Some sweet.
Because I follow her in a very nice way. I keep like a respectable distance.
Yeah.
25 yards at all times, unless I get closer.
And a mixtape a day.
A mixtape a day by Sir Mix-a-Lot, the Irish DJ.
I like green fields and I cannot lie. I also enjoy Catholicism. I also enjoy beer. I also enjoy other Irish things.
I don't think there's many Irish people that enjoy Catholicism.
No, half. I don't know if half.
Say half of them do?
I don't know. You know.
Yeah. I think which half? The upper half or the lower half?
I think half. Well, here's the thing. Half of them do, and half of them are lying.
Oh, snap. Yeah. Snap.
It's kind of like men and masturbate, that masturbation survey, you know, like 95% say that they masturbate and 5% are liars.
That's right.
The old joke.
Of course, everyone's answering it on their computer. So who's fooling them? And then it just says, you knew the camera was on, right? What? And then just play a little footage.
Should have said my phone number out loud.
Well, I should.
Okay. Yeah, you should celebrate New Year's.
I should.
All right. Sounds good.
For a change.
All right. Well, you're going to have to sit through our plugs for one
minute. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Because right. we
were supposed to plug at the beginning of the show, by the way.
Well, you know, Johnny Editor, you could always throw this at the beginning.
Oh, I won't.
All right. We've got, there's a couple things going on. One, there's a fundraiser I'm co-producing that's called All for Alberta on, it's what's the date?
It's on the 13th.
It's on the 13th at the Rio Theater, 9:30.
Saturday night.
There's going to be comedy, music, a lot of good fun. My friend James Lloyd is going to be drawing you in whatever style you want, like your Simpson
kind of
style.
Simpson style, yeah.
Yeah, he could draw you in a Life in Hell style. He can draw you in a Futurama style. All those variant styles.
Yeah, those variant styles. Yeah, I'll be there too. I'll be drawing people as dragons.
That's right.
Yeah.
Michael actually just got his drawing done. He was the first person to get his drawing done.
I did, and it's awesome, and you have to go down and do that and donate some money.
Exactly. So come to that. The next day, Dave and I are going to get up cock-a-doodle-doodle.
Yep.
And go on down to the EXP Lounge, where we and our buddies at the Caustic Soda Podcast are going to be doing a double live podcast for
y'all.
Wow. Where's that going to be?
That's going to be on Sunday.
At?
At the EXP Bar Plus Restaurant.
Is that in Canada?
Yep.
I don't know where that is.
It's on, that's on Pender Street?
309 Pender Street.
Okay, thank you.
And it starts at what time, David?
Starts at, doors open at noon. Noon. I'm getting kind of nervous about it already.
Jesus, I'll tell you.
Oh my God, everybody. It's going to be live. The doors open at noon.
And then the show starts at
12:30.
Okay, 12:30.
I guess that is early.
Yeah,
I mean,
Dave
you guys
and I
are late night guys.
Dave and I are the opening act, and then Caustic Soda will come in with their extremism.
We are the Saxon to their Judas Priest.
And it's only $10 Canadian if you want to buy your tickets in advance, which is not a bad idea because their last show stole out.
It's stole out.
We're very hot.
It's like our show.
They're at what's the website, David?
CausticGear.com.
Fantastic. That's what we do. Hey, why not buy some Simpsons Futurama comics? I write them. There you go, Michael. What's going on by you that you want to plug?
I got nothing.
Michael's got nothing. But you know,
I'm available for other podcasts.
He's available for podcasts. He's a lovely voice. Put him on cartoons. Put him in your video games. Listen to this. He's got a good face. Put him on the TV. He's been in the Supernatural. Can handle a snake without creeping out either the snake or himself.
Or any of the viewers.
Where would people be able to see some of your stuff? You go on YouTube and
There's a ton of stuff on YouTube. Absolutely there is. If you just Google my name, you can watch a bunch of old roundtable episodes.
Right. That was a podcast before there was a podcast.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
That's on there. And there's other stuff that I've done on there. Some old live comedy stuff we used to do with David Dedrick's cousin Jason, past guest,
former friend
Jason
of the show
Dedrick.
Yep.
Ooh, former.
There you go. So check you out on the YouTube. David, anything going on by you?
Nope.
Okay,
doing a live
good
podcast. Yeah.
All right, we gotta let Michael get to his car. Thanks so much for coming in, Michael. Hope you come back again.
Thank you guys. That was awesome.
Thank you, listeners. Hope to see some of you on Sunday. If you can't make it, that's fine too. We'll see you next time around. Or come to the Rio show on Saturday, and for a very good cause, the Alberta Red Cross.
I'll be there too.
And Dave will also be there wandering about eating a grilled cheese sandwich because you can get a grilled cheese sandwich.
And they're really good.
And remember, everywhere we're talking about has air conditioning. It's hot outside. Get inside. Sun will kill you. It's been Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
I'm David Dedrick.
I'm Michael Roberts.
We're done. Bye. Well, we know what the opening of this fucking show will
be. Yes, I do.
All right.